Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here with our part two of our last popular episode, all about Sam and my favorite mental health advice and like life lessons, I guess you could say.
Yeah. More importantly, the ones we're living right now.
Yeah. We're always living life lessons.
We're always, always, constantly. So you had some more.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm really interested to hear.
One of my favorite ones is if you try to numb, like you cannot selectively numb. This is a quote from Brené Brown.
Ooh, I love that one.
You cannot selectively numb. If you try to numb the bad in your life, you will also numb the good. This was life-changing when I learned it. Life-changing because especially in my addiction, I was convinced that I could just numb the hard things. I could just avoid having hard conversations with people. I could just numb being sad or, you know, being upset about something. I truly thought I could selectively numb. And I didn't understand that if I numbed hard things in my life, I was disconnecting from all of the good in the joy. Mm-hmm. And when I was trying to get sober, I like did a ton of yoga. That was a big part of it. I became a yoga teacher. And having like the physical practice of yoga of like sitting in discomfort was so powerful for me. And really learning that even – because I think a lot of us, if we're in this pattern of avoidance, which is what a lot of patterns are, right? Addiction, chronic avoidance, even depression sometimes, even anxiety, right, can be avoidance. A lot of us fall in – OCD, a lot of us fall into avoidance patterns. We can trick ourselves into thinking that our life is better – because we're not engaging in all of life, sort of. And what is so cool when I was getting into recovery that I really learned through yoga was I needed like the hard parts of a yoga class to like love and really relish in, you know, like the stretching at the end of it or the like shavasana of it. Like part of the yoga training I did really taught us about peaks and valleys and tension and release as even like good positive things. And it really helped me reframe for myself this life of I don't want to just spend my life avoiding hard things because doing hard things also leads to feeling good sometimes. And like there is too much of a good thing sometimes where there's value to difficult things because it also can, again, nuance. I'm not saying you should go through hard things on purpose or purposely expose yourself to trauma, or it's good that people are exposed to too difficult things. But it's this idea I think of, even I've heard people talk about it, of a little bit of stress is healthy for us.
Yes.
Right. And it's like if you get too stressed, it's kind of like an injury, right? If you're trying to build muscle, if you stress your muscles out too much, you get injured and it's not good. But a little bit of tension, a little bit of stress on your muscles helps you grow stronger. And it's the same with our mental health.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I have never understood the practice of yoga. And you just – like, with that insight, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But I've always felt that people just, like, throw out, like, you should do yoga. And I'm like, I do one pose, and I'm like, this is dumb. So maybe that is my own resistance. But I also – and maybe this is all of a sudden, like, very quickly becoming my therapy session. But I feel like I need very, like, aggressive exercise to feel like I did something. Like it has to be weightlifting. It has to be an incline on the treadmill. It has to be the Peloton. Like I – or like a really long walk. And when I do yoga, I'm like I am getting all of these poses wrong. I don't like this. I'm in a room with a bunch of people and my ass is in someone's face. And my, like I – can't, and I've never understood it. But now that you explain that, I'm like, I'm thinking back to my college yoga class. I did not take that class seriously. at all. And I was with my friends and we just kind of like shit talked our way through it and like didn't really pay attention. But I can see how sitting in that tension is like it's teaching you something about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this idea of like embracing the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't just do child's pose for 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. That doesn't teach you anything.
Yes. And I get like I am that way too of also like I'll preface it by I really enjoyed – I needed like the power yoga.
Because
I wanted that tension and release. Like I wanted the hard part. It felt like it gave me more capacity to relax at the end. But yeah, I mean I've been – it's been so fascinating the past year because I've had such bad injuries with – my back has been so messed up, my shoulders, my hips, since having a baby. If y'all are interested, you can let me know. I can do a whole episode on that.
We should.
But I've barely been able to work out at all. And that used to be my primary coping skill and I thought I would die. And yeah, maybe we should do a whole episode on it. What's so interesting to me is I finally had something happen where I couldn't – I muscled my way through my postpartum. Where I like dove back into like hard exercise.
Like right off the bat.
Yes. And it like caused so many problems that now I have to be so careful. It has like created such an interesting opportunity and dynamic. Obviously, I'm dying to get back to like regular exercise, but I do things and I've had to be so much more mindful of my body and what muscles I'm using and my mobility.
Yeah.
That is so interesting in terms of, just learning about yourself in the process.
I mean, guys, like, she really can't pick up her baby.
I know.
Like, it's so, like, her shoulder is so out of whack. So, like, I think I just say that to kind of illustrate, like, this is a very real thing.
It's been hard, but it's been – I've had to be so good at advocating for myself because – I never advocated for myself and I went to PT for 2 months and it made my shoulder worse.
We're going to do a whole episode, everybody.
Advocate for yourself is one of the things probably.
Yes.
But yes. So I think that – I do think yoga is a really cool tool for – and just I think physical movement. Also, you learn a lot about – like there's something about like the physical container of watching your mind, what it does under stress, under – hardship that it right that you self-impose that I think is a really interesting if people you know like working out or are interested in it. I think it can be a really cool tool to learn about yourself and practice. Like it was a good opportunity for me as I was getting sober to practice slowing down, to practice you know getting like doing poses that I didn't like, to practice having like pushing myself
actually breathing through something.
Yeah.
I real quick on like the exercise train kind of with this idea of like you can't numb everything and like you have to embrace it all. I like when I first started using the Peloton.
Yeah.
I was like so mean to myself.
Aww.
Like I would get on and I like I loved it.
Yeah.
But then like I would be going and I'd be like I'd be like fuck. Like doing a climb and I'd be like, duh, like you're not gonna give up. Like you give up on everything.
Yes.
Like it was like so aggressive.
Mm.
And I kind of like caught myself one day doing that. And I had to be like, whoa, girl, like one, it's not that serious. Two, like to like pull back on a climb or to not worry so much about hitting the ranges that they want you to hit because it doesn't mean anything.
I know. The ranges do –
the ranges
– I struggle. I have to turn off the data. I don't need
Don't tell me anything. I'm sweating. That's enough.
Yeah.
But something that was really helpful is Cody Rigsby.
Mm-hmm.
King of Peloton.
Yeah.
He would hammer home a lot the idea of like the mind muscle connection. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful for me because I realized like I was so deep in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of I would use it as like my processing time to like, get my anger out, that I was forgetting that I'm a soul with a body.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of just like checking out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was really helpful to like bring myself back into my body and be mm-hmm. like, why am I feeling angry? Why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling so frustrated? Mm-hmm. Because I was saying it was because of the ride. Mm-hmm. But really what I started to recognize was it was because of things that were happening outside that I wasn't allowing myself to tap into. All came up. And it finally had an outlet.
Yeah.
Through that.
Yeah.
So – yeah. And I think the second you start embracing the mess mm-hmm. is the second you can start actually doing things that make it feel cleaned up.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, kind of going back to your sobriety, if you don't even mm-hmm. know what it's like to recognize you feel sad.
Yes. So many people are so disconnected from their bodies. They don't understand that emotion mm-hmm. starts as a physiological body sensation.
Well, and even as a therapist, like I've had to – with so many of my clients, I've had to go back to like, we're literally teaching
yes.
what a feeling is.
Yeah, how like, to feel.
What do you feel about that? And they'll yeah. be like, I don't know. And at first I would be like, come on, we're being avoidant. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, no, they literally don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no idea how they feel about this yeah. or what they're supposed to feel about it or whatever. So yeah, like I think to create moments mm-hmm. where you can tap back into your body and with that wonderful explanation of yoga that explains why it is helpful to sit in a down dog.
Mm-hmm. But I think you can bring mindfulness to to any yeah, movement, anything, really.
Anything.
And do that. But I agree. I think – and we'll do an episode on that. But, yeah, I think – I remember working at a – when I worked at a rehab, mm-hmm. I would try to talk to people about their emotions and they were completely disconnected their yeah. whole lives from that. Like, it's actually a really cool word called interoception.
Ooh.
Interoception is the feeling of understanding what's going on in your body.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So like some people, if you don't practice it, you literally don't – it's why – to bring it back to PT, right? It's why like if people are working out, sometimes they don't even understand what muscles they're using, right? Mm. Or you don't even – so if you don't have any – interoception, which happens with mindfulness, that you need to practice it to develop that skill, you aren't going to be able to very easily identify how you feel because you aren't going to be able to tune into your body. So I love that word. I'm super obsessed with just like how physiological and psychological stuff meet and how that all works.
Interoception.
But yeah, interoception. It's a good word to
gonna whip that out in my
to
next
know
session
and look and up yeah
hopefully they don't listen to this and I'll be like, wow, she knew that the whole time. I'm gonna be like, I learned that 10 minutes ago. No, it's if you're not taking time to be aware mm-hmm. and I think that is the key, like if we're talking about being avoidant, we're talking mm-hmm. about choosing to not be aware.
Or if you have trauma.
Yes.
Right? Like I think that's one thing that's so hard too is if people have a lot of physical trauma, sexual trauma, mm-hmm. if you were taught – even if you have an eating disorder, a lot of times you're taught that being in your body isn't safe.
Yes. Yes.
You have the habit of exiting your body.
It's where dissociation comes
yes,
from.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's not right that people aren't always even – they don't even know. They right. don't even know that this is happening. So, of course, they can't even identify when someone says, where do you feel that in their body? They don't even
– yeah.
They don't have any connection to it.
No.
All right, Sam. What's your next one?
My next one involves – I think it kind of piggybacks off of this one.
Okay.
A little bit. And I'll be interested to hear your thoughts. So, the question is, mm-hmm. how would future me want to respond to this? Mm-hmm. Now, I like this one mm-hmm. because it helps get me where I want to go mm-hmm. in a way that feels really intentional.
Yeah.
Now, the key here is it does require some foundational work, some pre-contemplation work, if you will, mm-hmm. around, well, where is it that I want to go? Like, who is the person that I want to be, who is the person that I want to be growing into, right? Yeah. And again, not just necessarily like identity work, but more like behaviors, habits, relationships, like kind of future casting, like, what would the higher version of me do in this situation?
Yeah.
So, for example, I was, like, notoriously bad at morning routines. Like, I was kind of one of those people that just, like, rolled out of bed, got ready, left out the door.
Yeah.
And would always feel discombobulated.
Yeah.
And, like, this was, like, really hard with the hospital, too, because I would have – my shifts were 12 hours.
Yeah. So they were all different.
Well, and also my – so for the longest time, I did do graves and stuff like that, which, like, nothing about your life makes sense when you're doing grave shifts. But, yeah, so 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. 4 a.m. was a dark time.
I'm sure.
You could kind of, like, muscle through, and then at about 4:15, you would be like – my soul's going to leave my body.
Yes.
But anyway, so once I moved up in seniority a bit, my shifts were the swing shifts. So I would do noon to midnight. So it was like just early enough that like you could go home and sleep.
Yeah.
But my job was so like adrenaline inducing that a lot of times like I wouldn't be able to go to sleep until like 1:30 or 2.
Yeah.
Even though I would get home between like 12:20, 12:30, sometimes so earlier. Probably
like eat dinner and decompress and stuff.
Yeah. Like I would have to shower.
Yes.
When you're in a room with a dead body.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You kind of want to do a bit of a cleansing ritual. Yeah. But yeah. And so then like you would kind of wake up. There were times where I was waking up at like 10:30, just getting ready and then getting right back in the car and going to work.
Yeah.
And what I started realizing was that just was not working and not sustainable. Like I felt like there was no me time. I didn't really know who I was on the days I was working. Then it would kind of throw off my off days too. Because you're just always in this feeling that you're trying to catch up, but you're never catching up.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was every day, even on my work days, I was up at 9.
Yeah.
And I prioritized – I would have a cup of tea. Love tea. Give you a whole episode on tea brands. we'll go there. Have a cup of tea. I would sit outside on my porch. And just stare into nothingness. And that I noticed like that kind of helped me like acclimate to being awake.
Yeah.
And gave myself a few minutes to kind of catch up. Then I would have breakfast and my pre-workout and then I would work out. And usually take care of a few things here or there. And then I would get in the car and go to work. And I noticed that the reason I'm bringing all of this up to tie back into this question is because I had to ask myself, how does healthy Sam operate? And I knew by that point, I wasn't going to be in this job forever.
Yeah.
I had already started taking clients, but it was still the full-time gig.
Yeah.
Right. And I recognized there was going to come a time in my life where this wasn't in my life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be as prepared as I could for when it wasn't.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel like I had a system in place that I could really run with once this was gone and really feel like I had some stability again.
Yeah.
Because what was hard is with this job is there was no stability.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there was absolutely – I would walk in and I had no idea like what I was going to do that day. I knew – the types of patients that I would be called to see.
Yeah.
I didn't know the situations. I didn't know what I was going to be asked to do. I didn't know what I was going to have to see. I didn't know who I was going to work with. I mean, on my team, I knew who I was going to work with.
Right.
And I had an incredible team. So if any of my former team members are listening to this, I loved you and I miss you. But outside of our little unit, I hated some of the nurses. I absolutely detested some of the doctors.
Yeah.
And one day in our episode, I'm going to name names. I'm going to. This is going to be some spicy tea. I'm going to name names and I don't care anymore. We'll get to that in that episode. But so there was like so much unpredictability that I needed something that was stable.
Yeah.
And so I said to myself, like, how would Sam mm-hmm. not at the hospital, be living her life?
Yeah.
Like, what would that look like in a way that felt calming, felt sustainable, felt nourishing?
Yeah.
And recharging.
Yeah.
And I realized that that morning routine for me, that routine of waking up, mm-hmm. having a cute little morning beverage, prepping to work out, working mm-hmm. out, getting ready, then mm-hmm. starting the day, that really helped me to feel grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really invite you, if life is feeling chaotic in some way, if you're kind of feeling like there's some of these situations that you feel like you can't get a handle on,
yeah,
ask yourself, how would future me want to respond to this?
Mm-hmm.
And future me is replaced with, how would confident me respond? Mm-hmm. How would empowered me respond? How would, you know, happy me respond, right? Yeah. Healed me, whatever adjective like you want to put to it.
Yep.
Then you look at that and you reverse engineer it.
Yep.
And you say, like, well, what would that version of me need in order to be able to do that successfully?
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of advice, some of the best advice I've ever received is twofold. One, focus on your sleep. Two, make your home a sanctuary. And sometimes to do that, we have to invest in some items to make that happen. And one of the best investments that I have made recently is buying the Cozy Earth Bamboo Pajama Set. When I tell you these are the best pajamas I have ever worn in my life, I'm not lying to you. I sometimes really struggle with pajamas because they're not comfortable. They make me really hot at night and it's just, ugh, I don't like it. These have completely revolutionized the way I sleep, the way I enjoy my sleep and getting into bed and feeling comfortable and cozy. The fabric is so breathable. It is a soft stretch knit that just feels like heaven on your body. It's so lightweight and I sleep so cool, which has been such a big deal for me. The other wild thing is their pajamas are made from the same exact material as their sheets. So if you buy the sheets and the pajamas, it's like the most incredible sleep of your life. So because I love it so much, if you go to CozyEarth.com, use code Nuance, N-U-A-N-C-E, for 40% off your order. I am telling you right now, go to CozyEarth.com, use code Nuance, and you are going to get 40% off your order. And if you use our code, please let them know that Nuance needed to send you. A better year starts with better sleep. Wrap yourself in Cozy Earth, and I cannot wait to hear how much you love these pajamas. So
I love that.
What's your rebuttal to that?
I don't have a rebuttal.
Yeah, rebuttal was a really aggressive word. I don't know why I came out with that. That was, I'm not sure.
Maybe because you know that I don't have a morning routine.
Cold out. No, not at all. But
I struggle with morning routines. I do. I don't know what it is. I want to have a routine. I want to have a morning routine, but I also I'm like, I have more important things to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're
and that's about, where I – that's where I get stuck.
Yeah. We're talking about two different seasons of life.
Right? Yeah. But I have – one thing that maybe leans off of this is one thing that has really helped me is really be really ruthless about my time.
Mm-hmm.
Being really clear, I used to really lie to myself, I think, about how much time I had.
Ooh.
And I think it's also just a really humbling experience having a child because you lose so much time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I used to always be able to fit stuff in. Like, yeah. I could always figure it out on some right. level, and now I can't. And I have had to, like, mourn that essentially. And I've had to be like, okay, I need to then be a lot more realistic and – decide what's important and decide what's not. And for example, I really for a long time was like, I am going to be someone who gets dressed in the morning and makes a cute outfit and puts myself together. Mm-hmm. And one thing that helped me so much this year is being like, that's not my priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't ask that sometimes. We just say, I want to be, you know, we kind of talked about this in the New Year's episode. Like, I want to be someone who is this. I would like make that my New Year's resolution all the time of like, I'm, you know, and I would think that by January 1st, the magic of January 1st, that would change me. And instead of being like, okay, And I think this goes into what you're saying about a morning routine too, because I do kind of have a morning routine. I don't work out in the morning, but right. I wake up, I see my daughter before she goes to school, I drink a cup of coffee, I get dressed. But I think that we sometimes have it that like our morning routines need to be fancy or really long or Instagrammable instead of being like, right, it sounds like the cornerstone of how your routine really started was just drinking a cup of tea and looking out your window or sitting outside.
It and I think survival.
Yeah. And I think that survival. That's what that – so going back to that, this year I don't like get dressed in fancy outfits, but I do get dressed.
Hey.
Which I know it sounds like insane, but – just like accepting that I work from home and my schedule is like pretty chaotic and I work a lot and, you know, so I started just being like this year I have a lot more of a uniform where I have like a couple sweatshirts I rotate between. I have like a bunch of like workout clothes that I always wear. You know, it varies a little bit. I try to keep my like makeup routine way more simple where I just put on like, you know, I'm never going to be someone who puts on eyeliner every day. Like, that's a joke. So, like, the fact that I tried to pretend for so long is a waste. I have sensory issues with even wearing makeup. So, like, putting on under eye concealer, CC cream, and mascara, which I don't do every day, but most days, is a win for me. And, like, that's all I really care about. And I think – we need to also check in on what actually – because everything takes effort. Every change is going to take energy. And what do you want to use your energy for? I read this book called 40,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. Oh,
I think I've heard of that one.
It is great.
I need to read it.
It's – I love it because he doesn't give any strategies for time.
Yeah.
At all. It's like, not strategy based. It's like literally everyone has an average of 40,000 weeks alive until they die. Which, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but right, like if you go, if you start being more like that's sort of his whole argument is like you're never going to have enough time to do what you want. No. It's a fantasy that most of us will ever have enough time.
To do what we want to do.
To do what we want to do. So we have to be ruthless about our time and we have to really decide what's worth it for us because the amount of time I think we all sometimes spend, or at least I used to spend, pretending I was going to do certain things that don't even matter to me, right? Like wearing cute clothes. It's just not a priority for me. And I don't think that it just doesn't matter for me. Like, I think if I went into an office and things changed, I'm sure that would change along with it. But I just think I am someone who, like, uniforms are good and I make so many decisions through the day. Literally eliminating my decision fatigue is one of the most important things that I do. So being realistic about that instead of constantly promising myself I'm going to be and do something else that isn't high on my list, who cares?
I can reframe this for you. I think twofold. One, this my morning routine was my that was like my survival through something that was really hard. And we are absolutely going to do an episode on my hospital experience because I'm sure you guys are piecing this together and you're like, are you okay? Like yes.
Wait, you had a really, really intense job. It was, that was life or death.
Literally life or death. Like, I have seen hundreds of dead bodies. So I think that's what I was – like, that was why I used, like, the morning routine. And I think what you have touched on really brilliantly is that part of this question, this idea of, like, how would future me want to respond? What – the work that you did in that was your value system. Like, you identified what you actually valued. And then decided, like, well, how would a me that is rooted in her values choose to live? Like, and so for you, that meant cutting out A, B, C, D, E. Right? For me, she's a bougie girl.
It's so funny though, Sam, because I feel – and I still feel this sometimes. Even as we're talking about this, I still feel like there is something wrong with the way that I am, which is so weird. But it's just – it's like society, right? It's like we've, you know, told women that if you don't wear makeup and stuff like that, like you're, you know, not professional.
See, I feel – This is so interesting that you say, like, I feel like there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel bad. Well, and bad – maybe that's the wrong term. I hate that I work from home.
Yeah.
Because I feel like working from home makes it so that, like, I can't present myself in the way I want to.
Yeah.
I love clothes. Mm-hmm. I love going out. Y'all, do you know what I wore to our friend dinner the other night? Wore a leather jumpsuit.
It was super cute.
I put that on and I was like, it is me. She is here.
Yes.
And so I think, again, what I'm highlighting with that is like neither one is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just identifying like who we are.
Yeah.
But then being willing to filter your choices and the things that you want to do and the way you want to live through that. Mm-hmm. And I think for you, like, I have tried to turn my back on makeup so many times. I've tried to, and I can't. And you drop me in Sephora. I had to cut up that credit card. I got it one time. Mm-hmm. I put one, like, purchase on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, girl, what are you doing? Like, I was like, you cannot have this type of an out. And I literally had to chop it up because I love it. I will buy every stupid little bit and skincare thing and this and that and then. But then that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. And you prefer simplicity. Mm-hmm. And you prefer like straightforward, direct, this is me, this is it. That's all. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this could tie into even like another episode about women feeling guilty about just choosing things that bring them joy.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing for you is like simplicity is joy for you.
Yeah.
That is stress free. Mm-hmm. That is – it makes the day feel easier for you to just be.
Yeah. But I think it's weird too because I used to be someone who was really interested in clothes and I was – I've never been super into makeup, so I won't even – kid myself with that, but I used to be very into clothes and things like that. But yeah, I just like am like I don't want to spend 30 minutes a day deciding what to wear, and that's where and that's what I've sort of just allowed myself to be in. And I think the allowing of myself to be who I am has at least I've stopped hurting my own feelings. I've stopped pretending. Yep. That I'm going to be something I've not. Mm. And at least it's made my life way better to be like, this is what works for me, even if I want it to be different sort of, because I think that's the way that it should be based on society or whatever.
Right. It's like meeting yourself where you're at fully.
Yeah.
And saying like, this is where I'm at right now. And maybe it'll change one day. Like exactly like you said, like if, you know, there's an opportunity where you're going out more often, whatever, like, sure, maybe it'll change.
Yeah.
But right now, radically embracing who you are is about living in this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can I ask you a weird question?
No, please do.
Do you like putting on makeup in the morning? Do you like getting dressed?
I love it. I love
it. So fast. Cause it like, it is such a chore through and through to me. And
I love it.
Yeah. I like the outcome, which is, I think, why I keep trying to convince myself that I want it. Mm,
yeah. But like if you had like a glam squad coming to your house every day, you'd do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to sit there, but.
Oh, I'd love it. If I had someone like doing my hair and my makeup, I'd be, oh my gosh, I would be a Real Housewives queen. I could, don't give me that life. I will turn into a bear. But, like, I mean, in like 2016, 2017, probably even longer than that, I was doing like full beat. Like she was a cut crease queen.
Yeah.
highlight whole thing. I've really like toned it down actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I really like it. For me, like I throw on music or I throw on a podcast or I throw on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is is like a really
It's your morning routine.
Like sacred part of my routine is like getting ready. Mm-hmm. I actually get really annoyed with having to do my hair. That's where
Because
it's she's big.
Yeah.
It's big. Takes a long time. I'm also like growing it out, which I kind of regret that a little bit. I might cut it. But then I just get like a – looks like I have a bowling ball on my head if I cut it too short. Or I look like a clown. So like I don't have the luxury of doing like really cool funky haircuts. Like it's just – I do the same one.
I get that. Well, this was helpful for me because I literally like make myself wrong all the time for not – caring enough. I don't know.
No. And I think this goes for anybody, but I think to just like radically embrace who you are is one of the most like empowering things that you could do.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm hearing from you as well as like seeing just in like our friendship and our partnership is that
seeing as you are wearing the same sweatshirt, Amanda, that you were wearing yesterday.
I didn't notice that.
Trying to make neutral sweatshirts so they don't stand out too much.
So now I have three colors that I can buy from Lululemon. Because
yes, exactly.
But no, like I think you have felt more aligned with yourself and the work that you're doing as a result of living more authentically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even say that to kind of add like fruity, fluffy language to it. But those are like true legitimate descriptors of what this decision looks like. And I think if you're listening and you're kind of assessing where you're at with life and how you feel about things, I mean, yeah, we took this to like, as you would say, like the superficial, like talking about makeup and clothes and hair and like whatever. But I think for women, that's a huge discussion.
Yeah.
Like however you want to live and approach that is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Now that it is officially the new year, it might be a great time for you to seek therapy. If so, I'd love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We are located in the Philadelphia area, and we also have therapists licensed in 42 states across the country. If you're interested, check out our website, therapyforwomencenter.com. Well, we hope that you all got something out of this podcast that we went on a bit of a tangent on, but I hope you understand the deeper meaning behind what we were talking about today.
Yeah. If you have been loving what you're hearing, if you could rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to get the word out, support us, would mean the world to us because we are an independent podcast. And the more that you rate, review, share, subscribe, the more we get the word out there, the more people listen to us, and the longer we can keep doing this. So
absolutely.
That is why we have this little speech at the end.
And we want to hear from you.
Yes.
You can email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com or you could call in. Our number is 813-444-8683. We won't answer the phone.
No.
It is just a line that you can call and leave us a message. But we would love to hear your topics, your ideas, your feedback, suggestions.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.